It's 3:38, and today is Friday, April 9th, 2010. The time, I said already, 3:38. With us today are Senator Stevens, Senator Wagner, Senator French, and myself, Wilikowski. We have four bills up before us today. The first one is House Bill 210, and I'll take them up in the following order. House Bill 210, which is Eisenbeck State Game Refuge Land Exchange. Second one is House Joint Resolution 26, Statehood ANCSA Land Survey Funding. Then House Concurrent Resolution 10, Opposing Federal Control of State Land and Water. And then we'll take up House Bill 280, Natural Gas Storage and Incentivization in Cook Inlet. And I'm hoping that we can move the first, at least three bills, and we'll talk about the fourth one. I'd like to call up the sponsor for House Bill 210, Representative Bryce Edgman. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bryce Edgman, representative for House District 37.
Any final comments on the bill before we take any action on it?
Well, I'd like to thank the committee for taking up the bill yesterday and certainly taking it up again expediently today, and just close by underscoring the importance of this bill to the community of King Cove and certainly those in the Cold Bay as well. And really appreciate your consideration of the subject in the timely manner that you've taken it up.
Okay, any questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, I personally think this is a long overdue bill. And is there any discussion by the committee? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that CS for House Bill number 210, Resources, be moved out of this committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Any discussion? Any objection? Okay, the bill moves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Okay, next up we have House Joint Resolution 26. And welcome. You can put yourself on the record, Crystal. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Keeneman, staff to Representative Fairclough. And again, once again, she does extend her apologies for not being here today.
Okay, any final comments on the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman. You had asked one question yesterday in regards to the land patents. I believe you did see that email. If the committee would like, I can explain that. If not,
if you could just give us maybe a 30-second.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. Land patents establish on the ground certainty to the land title because they require a land survey. And without that land survey, you don't really know what you own. So therefore, you know, the land survey requires that the property be located and marked on the ground, and the patent is the document that confirms that the state or the ANCSA corporation owns that specific piece of property.
Okay, perfect. Questions? Do I have a motion?
Chairman, I'd move that House Joint Resolution 26 be moved out of this committee onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the bill moves. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, next up we have House Concurrent Resolution number 10. Representative Hawker.
Good morning,
back.
Mr. Chairman. Or good afternoon, I guess it has become.
Welcome to the committee. If you could just put yourself on the record and comments on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Representative Mike Hawker, District 32, South Central Alaska, and I believe we responded to all the concerns of the committee at our previous hearing, and I have not heard any subsequent queries or issues with the bill.
Any questions from the committee? Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the House Concurrent Resolution number 10, Resources, be moved out of this committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the bill moves. Okay, thank you, Representative Hawker. Okay, next up we have House Bill 280, Natural Gas Storage. It's actually a much longer title than that, but Representative Hawker, welcome. Put yourself on the record.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Representative Mike Hawker. I represent District 32, South Central Alaska.
Okay, thank you. And just add that I know the sponsor spent a lot of time on the bill. And I appreciate your taking time with my staff and with the department, the administration, to work out some minor tweaks in the bill, and understand that this has resulted in a series of amendments which have all been combined into one. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is absolutely correct. The last time we were before your committee, the Department of Revenue had raised a number of issues based on their final comprehensive review of the bill. My staff, your staff, and I, we worked very closely together, the Department of Revenue, and have come up with an amendment that is largely an amendment that is, I think it's a clarification amendment. It really clarifies our intent inside the bill and responded to the department's concern that, we're making things very, very clear. What we did not, and some of it was defining the negatives so that we made sure that we didn't trespass where we did not intend to trespass. And I don't know, sir, if you want a little bit more explanation on the amendment. But
yeah, I think everyone's got the amendment in front of them, and I'll make this amendment number one. I'll move amendment number one.
Time out.
Yes.
Don't have the amendment.
Okay.
Here's Birch.
Now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, everyone have a copy of Amendment Number 1?
Let's see.
And I've got an extra one over here. Senator French. There we go. Pass that down.
It's that time of the year.
Okay. I'll move Amendment Number 1, and I'll object to it for the purposes of discussion. And Representative Hawker, if you could walk us through Amendment Number 1.
And Mr. Chairman, with the indulgence of yourself and the committee, I'd indicate there are truly, I think, three actual changes in the amendment, and if I'll address those anecdotally, and then anyone that wishes to walk through the details, and again, it is that time of year, and as much as I would like to think I knew exactly what each of these sections in this amendment was, I have my able staff who worked with your staff and the department to really work out the specific details. But the policy call changes in the amendment, one in particular, folks remember in the bill, AOGCC is our certifying agency. They're sort of the check and balance on this whole gas storage, on certifying what the parameters are to meet the definitions in the bill. And it was pointed out to us that in those certifications, we never did actually ask the AOGCC to certify that the gas storage facility itself just actually meets the definition of a gas storage facility in the bill. We talked about certifying its parameters, so we've added a provision that says they will also basically say that the gas storage facility they're certifying meets the definition of a gas storage facility in the bill, really the most foundational premise. We had the provision that allows the small producer buyback credit, being able to repurchase the credits from a taxpayer. Instead of having to have them, find some other person to buy them or to use them themselves. The previous version of the bill said that, in order to avail yourself of the state's purchasing the credits you have earned, that your tax liability from all years, forever, at all time, you had to have a zero liability with the Department of Revenue. And the department identified and said, it's entirely possible that someone could be in a very honest dispute over a legitimate tax dispute from a prior year, which would have left an open, unaudited return. And the department, which I sincerely appreciate, said we might want to provide just a little leeway so that when you're getting the credits would be viewed on an incremental basis, on an annual basis. So it was only that in order to get to cash out a credit, your current year tax liability had to be zero, and it simply allowed for the possibility that there might be an open item, a legitimate item at issue. And again, from a prior year, again, we've incorporated that at the request of the department, which again, I do appreciate their leeway there. And then lastly, if folks remember, taking a little step beyond the bill in front of us, Mr. Chairman, but there are several bills moving through the legislature where there has been this attempt to define a well lease expenditure, and the idea being to allow a credit structure for the actual sort of the operation, the improvement of existing wells and existing infield drilling for the purposes of enhancing, improving, maintaining the deliverability of gas. And It's actually been, I almost hesitate to use the word, but it's almost been humorous as we have all been struggling to come up with this definition. We've worked with the Department of Revenue, and we've all vacillated back and forth on a couple of concepts. And what was in the bill previously was what we'd arrived at working with the Department and House Finance. Subsequent to that, the department, my staff, have been working diligently on what is really the best language to define these well lease expenditures. And we are adopting in this bill language that is now, as I've been mutually derived at with the Department of Revenue, ourselves, other folks in the process in the legislature. And I find it's kind of interesting that we're actually closer to the original language we had before we started messing with this section than we had before. But we've done a really good job there of identifying what is considered a well lease expense. And the one issue that if there was any element of controversy in our definition previously, we had included an allowing for the purposes of the 023 CapEx credits, an overhead allocation on the direct costs. And in this version of the bill, in the definition of well lease expenditures, we have eliminated the overhead component there, which at the end of the day makes this bill in much more in strict, more strict compliance with the CapEx credits as they apply throughout the state. Those are really the substantive changes, and if you'd like more of a walkthrough on some of the other more ministerial changes, I'd be happy to have my aide, Ms. Lucky.
It's just because it's a very complex bill, and I think it might benefit if we took just a few minutes for Ms. Lucky to walk us through this, if you could put
Thank
yourself
you,
on the record.
For the record, my name is Julie Lucky. I'm staff to Representative Mike Hawker, and I know that we do have our able-bodied revenue people in the room, so if I mess up and misstate one of their concerns, I hope that they will correct me. But to the best of my knowledge, I can tell you what the amendment does. I can't necessarily embody all of what Department of Revenue's concerns were, but I will do my best. That you'll see on the amendment, it's a three-page amendment, so I'm just going to go by kind of what each section does. There's two changes to page 2, lines 11 and 13. And this is the part where Representative Hawker talked about where AOGCC will certify that the gas storage facility actually meets the definition of a gas storage facility. So that's where we're adding that as a responsibility of AOGCC. This change on page 9, line 4, this is one of those negative assurances, is that we did not intend to include liquefied natural gas in a definition. We do not feel that it is in the definition. When we checked with RCA, they did not feel it was in the definition, but in order to make sure that everybody understands that we are not trying to have RCA have regulatory authority over liquefied natural gas or manufacturing plants or facilities, we are specifically putting that in the exclusion for the definition. Page 9, line 19, there was some concern about whether or not Department of Revenue would be allowed to give, instead of just an aggregate amount of all the credits claimed by a taxpayer, they wanted to be able to give an amount received for each facility by a taxpayer. This allows, gives the statutory authority to make sure that they can give that information to the RCA. The changes on page 10, lines 11 through 12, there was some concern about ensuring that we knew what the facility was that was available for the credit. I think in discussion we had changing the definition. It seemed that the cleaner approach was to lay that out in the area of the statute where we say you can claim a credit if you are one of these things. And so it's very clear that we are saying that to claim a credit, you must be regulated as a utility under 4205 and also be available to furnish the service of natural gas storage to the public for compensation, and that as that term is defined earlier in the bill. I don't know if anyone has any questions. Page 2 of the amendment, line page 10, line 28, and that's the change that Representative Hawker discussed, where we're talking about the calendar year versus having a zero tax liability for any previous years. Page 11, lines 25 through 28, this was seen as duplicate language that appears earlier in the statute, or in the bill, and that's regarding, let me just make sure I have them. That's regarding that the RCA has the authority and the information to ensure that the price that you're getting as a tax claim is passed on to the consumer. And Department of Revenue may speak better to this concern. I think it was their concern that they do not have the authority to kind of double-check this information, and so by putting a duplicate section in their statute that requires them to do something they don't have the authority to do, it was, since the what we are trying to do is already covered in the RCA statutes, the language was deemed to be problematic and duplicative to repeat it here. And I don't know if we have any questions about that section. On page 12, following line 24, and this change goes through to page 13, line 5, because there are some technical changes that need to be made by the addition of the new section 14. And this was a way of just ensuring that we're not changing the way that production taxes are. I mean, that basically we're making sure that our bill doesn't affect what the department is doing now. And for a better explanation of that, I think I would prefer Department of Revenue to come up. But I have been assured by everybody that we have passed this through that what we are in fact doing is just ensuring that our bill doesn't step on Department of Revenue's toes as far as their current process is.
It reads oddly, but I share your, I mean, I guess I'll just be interested in making sure that everybody.
Mr. Chairman, Senator French, I think if you would aggregate all of the hours we have spent between the last time we met and where we are now, the majority of it was spent.
Have a deeper appreciation for the language.
Exactly. And I would love to have the Department of Revenue kind of explain more of what we're not doing with that language. The last change on page 15, line 26 through page 16, line 12, we're basically deleting that section, which is the well lease expenditure, and then inserting the language that all parties have agreed to. By doing that, we are removing the overhead language, even though you don't see an actual deletion, because we're deleting the whole section and then replacing it, and the overhead language does not appear.
Sorry, I missed the transition between section 14 and the next part you were talking about, or was that this?
The amendment, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Senator French, the amendment for section 14 involves the changes on page 12, line 25, page 13, line 4, and page 13, line 5 all have to do with technical changes to accommodate the insertion of section 14 into the bill.
Got it. Right. So after 14, all this stuff pertains to just making sure that 14 works.
Mr. Chairman, Senator French, that's correct. And the problem, and you'll see, we're deleting a new subsection, putting in new subsections. We had to delete gas storage facility from the subsection to say that now gas storage facility, as that term is defined, goes with the whole section of law. And that's why you'll see the inclusion of that small letter J on page 3, line 3 of the amendment.
Got it.
And that's the end of our three-page amendment.
Questions? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Did we cover what was on page 3, lines 5 and beyond?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Senator French. That was the well lease definition.
Okay, yeah, that was the part. I missed the transition into that. Got it. Okay, great. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, let's get the administration up and just hear their take on the changes. Marcia, welcome back to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record.
This is Marcia Davis, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue.
My understanding is you've been spending a little time with Representative Hawker's office the last week.
Yes, Chairman Wilikowski. We worked very hard and diligently to make this language work.
Any comments on the amendment? There was an area where Ms. Lucky had felt you could offer a better explanation.
Right.
Anything else you care to embellish on?
Chairman Wilikowski, you know, I think Julie Lucky has done a very good job of walking through the amendments and properly, you know, characterizing sort of what the concerns were and what's being addressed by the amendments. Just in responding to Senator French's question regarding the language on page 2, which is the amendment suggestion between lines 12 through 19. The reason this language became necessary is the department had taken issue with language in the bill that was a simple statement, which was intended to address how you treat non-native gas that's coming out of storage. And the precise statement was non-native gas, as it's removed from storage, is not produced for purposes of essentially the production tax law. And our concern was that currently, if that's viewed as gas to which title has changed hands, that makes all the sense in the world. Our concern was the unique situation where a producer owns gas, stores it, has not yet sold it, and then when and if it's produced, not produced, when and if it comes out of storage, then how does the department go about valuing it? What we did is to make it absolutely clear that the department retained its discretion to value the gas either at the prevailing value at the time it was produced or at the time it was sold, because those could be two different, very different time periods and different values. We wanted to make it clear that that prerogative was not being removed by the language that said that when the gas comes out, it is, quote, not produced for purposes of the tax law. So this preserves that status quo properly and adequately. And we appreciate Representative Hawker and his staff for helping us ensure that that was maintained.
And Mr. Chairman, if I
yes,
could,
please.
Just on that point, how and what will guide you in making that decision as to how to value that gas?
Under our other laws, it directs us generally to select either prevailing or market. We use market value unless, for some reason, it isn't a good indicator of what the prevailing value is in the market. And simplistically, under regulations, you take the higher of either the market or the prevailing value for gas. I think for oil, there's a little bit of a buffer in there, but.
But is that as to the time produced or as the time sold?
And actually what we have been doing to this point is by regulation we're essentially deferring at audit point what the actual price is, so that if someone has, here's what will happen. If you're a taxpayer and you're a producer and you have gas and you want to put it into storage and not sell it, you have produced the gas. You need to report the gas as having been produced, and under our regs, you'll report that gas at a value which is the prevailing value posted for the region, which in this case would be Cook Inlet gas, and you'll report it. That's how you'll make your estimated payments, monthly payments, working through the year for till you come out to your annual return. If you've sold the gas,
would that value not be the value that they're under contract for? I mean, wouldn't that be?
If they actually have a contract price that they're under contract for and they know they're going to be selling it, then they would likely report that.
Right.
But not all gas that's stored is currently under contracted, correct?
So it comes out of the ground in the summer, gas is, let's just say, $7.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's stored until winter and they think they can get $12. Which value are we going to pick?
Well, the taxpayer may report it and price it at the $7 when it's produced, as far as its monthly estimates. Once it gets to the annual return, if they have at that point sold the gas, in fact, for the $12, they will essentially revise their monthly estimates and then reflect that increase in tax when they finalize their final tax bill. If it is spanning a time period where it moves beyond the tax year so that it's been in storage longer than when they had to report the tax and the tax was reported based on the $7, then they will either file an amended return or it would get picked up on audit by the tax division as a tax liability owed, presuming that in that instance the market value was higher than the prevailing value.
Thank you.
One of the questions that came up, Marcia, in the last in our hearings was the issue of this perhaps applying only to south of the 68th latitude parallel. Is that addressed in the CS or in the amendment?
Chairman Wilikowski, there was no change put in here to alter the geographic zone, but I think what Representative Hawker's office was able to satisfy us with is that because of the requirement that anyone getting the tax credit, anyone receiving the beneficial treatment from DNR is going to have to be a 4205 regulated utility. That means that it's going to have to meet the criteria, the definition, which means it's a depleted or nearly depleted reservoir, which should remove a lot of the reservoirs that could potentially claim to be storage on the North Slope. And two, it's going to have to require that it be dominantly the prevailing use of that reservoir is for storage. So I think because of ensuring that it is regulated as a 4205, we were able to establish that it would be difficult to game the statute now as far as using North Slope reservoirs for storage.
So the administration is comfortable leaving it with the language?
We're much more comfortable with this draft, yes.
And then Section 4 of the original draft, there was a concern with DNR. I know that was the one that Kevin Banks had some disagreement, felt it should be open access. Has that been addressed, discussed? I know I don't see Mr. Banks here, but I guess we've got a few people from DNR online.
If I might, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
on
please.
That question. Representative Mike Hawker, District 32, South Central Alaska. I believe when we had Mr. and I would obviously let Mr. Banks repeat himself, but I believe the record will show that Mr. Banks' testimony was that while we'd had some ongoing conversations on this issue, that we had reached an accommodation and his concerns had been alleviated with the overall structure of the bill, and that this goes specifically to allowing a producer to build themselves or provide themselves essentially the capacity to build a warehouse for their own gas on its way to market. But and again, we discussed the issue, I think it was very clearly stated that we'd reached an accommodation with the various terms in the bill.
And is that you're on DOR, I guess, doesn't have a dog in that fight, or?
That is correct.
Okay. Section 10, page 8, there had been a question about whether or not a natural gas storage facility could include an LNG plant. And is the administration okay now?
Chairman Wilikowski, yes. I think the language change makes that abundantly clear.
I know page 10, there was line 11 through 12. some concern at that point about must be available for storage of gas that is owned by a utility regulated under AS 4205. And you're okay with the language that's in there? There was some concern about that being a little bit vague.
Chairman Wilikowski, yes, and the language change that's being put in, which is on the bottom of page 1, very clearly now requires that not only the gas storage facility itself be a regulated utility under 4205, which means that the RCA will be examining any rates offered for storage. In addition, it's literally making it clear that it has to also be available to furnish the service of natural gas storage to the public for compensation. But essentially, the concern I think that I'd heard expressed was simply being available for storage didn't necessarily dictate that the terms offered would be reasonable, or you know, that there wouldn't be highway robbery for it. That now is gone with the fact that the storage facility is going to be regulated by the RCA.
And I think one of the sections that we talked quite a bit about was Section O, and it looks like we've gone around in a circle on that one. I'm sorry, Section 18, Section O of Section 18.
And that would be correct, Mr. Chairman. We have been around that wheel many times, and I think we just discussed a little bit our way into the committee meeting today how we think universally we have landed on what we believe to be the best definition.
Okay. And from the administration's perspective, okay with the language there?
Chairman Wilikowski, yes. I mean, as inclusion in 023, this should be very clear. And tying it to IRS terms that have very clear defined definitions makes it very clean and easy to use for industry as well. We appreciate the removal of the overhead expense item simply because it was the oddity, since it doesn't exist under any of the other credits, and this makes it much easier to administer and calculate.
Okay. Does the administration have other concerns with the bill? And you may not get everything you want. I mean, I know you've negotiated that.
Chairman Wilikowski, no, we do not.
Okay. Do you support the bill?
Chairman Wilikowski, we certainly support the idea of gas storage. This approach seems to be a fair and clear way to get at it. The tax credit, obviously the governor's bill has a statewide tax credit, with the different provisions being rendered statewide for all fields. The fact that this one is tied up and limited to Cook Inlet is good as far as it goes.
And we don't have DNR online, do we?
We do not.
Okay, DNR was told about the hearing today. Did we have them online?
They were online for a while and then.
Okay. Any other questions for Marsha or Representative Hawker? Okay. I just want to thank the administration and Representative Hawker for working very collaboratively together. And we're going to hold the bill just for a very short time, give the members a chance to digest the amendment. It is a fairly major.
Chairman, are you going to have a CS prepared from the amendment? That would be my request if they can. That's
we can try to put that together. I know Representative Hawker is very eager to get this out of committee.
So am I.
And I'll just mention, I have spoken with finance, and finance is up to its ears in capital budget right now, so I don't know that holding it another day is going to make any difference at all. But
I just know going up to finance, a clean CS that's done here would be, I think, wise.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
You're
the boss.
We will try to get this as packaged as nicely and neatly. I don't think I have any other problems with the bill. I'm working with my staff on it, and I appreciate the changes that were made. I know everyone has been busy, and just give everyone an additional day to look it over, and we'll get a CS drafted up and hopefully get it out of here very, very shortly. Yeah, let's officially adopt the amendment then. I will withdraw my objection. Is there any continued objection to my amendment number one? Okay, amendment number one is adopted. We do have a hearing tomorrow at 12:30, and I'm hopeful that we can get this taken up tomorrow, Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and if you'll indulge me just a small comment back to the committee. I particularly appreciate the opportunity we've had to polish this bill here. I think you call it a dense bill, which it very much is, but with the time we've put into this last couple of days of effort on this, I sincerely believe we have one of the, and that's the we all have one of the best crafted pieces of legislation on these sort of subjects we're going to see. We've had a tremendous brain trust working on this from all sides, and I'd like to just again publicly thank everyone that has contributed to making this bill as good as I truly believe it is.
Thank you again. Okay, and with that, we're adjourned. We will be meeting tomorrow at 12:30. Okay, thank you. We're adjourned.